Amy, are we ready?
Chair, you are on the record.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to September 14th ADA board meeting. I'll call the meeting to order. I'll notice 8:30. And, Ramey, would you please do a roll call of the board members?
Commissioner Candy? Mr. Coach Darkenzie?
Here.
Mr. Fogel?
Here.
Mr. Dieselmore?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr.
Here. Thank you. Before we get to the agenda approval, welcome our newest member on the board. If you want to introduce yourself and your background and our Department of Revenue designee.
Yes, I'm Brian Fechter. I'm currently serving as Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Revenue and glad to be here.
Welcome, Brian. All right, item number three is the agenda approval.
I move to approve the agenda for the ADA meeting Wednesday, September 14th, as presented.
I'll second. This is Albert.
Is there any additions, deletions? Alan, are you good with the agenda?
We have an addition to the executive session agenda item number 8. We have a presentation of a business plan by PT Capital.
Okay. That would be added number 8. Is there any objection to adding that to the agenda?
That'll be an 8A, Chair.
Correct. Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting the agenda modified with adding the business plan with PT Capital? Seeing no objection, the agenda is approved. Brings us to item number 4, prior minutes for August 3rd, 2022.
This is Bill Kendrick. I move the prior minutes to August 3rd, 2022 as presented.
This is Albert. I'll second.
All right, well, so, for some reason, I do not have the minutes. The one you gave me yesterday? Is that where they're at? The old ones didn't have the ones that... Okay. So there's no objections or additions or deletions to the board minutes? Any objections to adoption? Hearing none, the minutes are adopted. Brings us to item number 5, public comments. Ask that the limit to 2 minutes per person. Please state your name. And if you have an affiliation, clearly for the record. We will go in the boardroom first. Is there anybody in the boardroom wishing to make a public comment? Seeing none, is there anybody online, Ramey, wishing to make a public comment?
Is there anybody on the phone that wishes to make a public comment? Please press *9 on your phone now. Please clearly state your name and affiliation if you have one. No, Chair, there are none.
All right. Well, we'll close the public comment section. It's going fast. I like it. Item number 6, new business, Resolution L22-03, Artillery Park, LLC. Alan?
Before the board, we have Resolution number L2203, Resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development
Authority. Excuse me, I didn't have my mic on. It's on now. Chair, we have before the board Resolution number 7, L2203, Resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority regarding purchase by the authority of a participation in Artillery Park, LLC. Before the board as well is information that we indexed to our agenda, which is a memorandum outlining what the proposal is at this point. We're requesting that ADA undertakes a participation of a little over $2.7 million in an aggregate, a little over $3 million loan. We would be undertaking a 25-year participation at a fixed rate on that loan. And I would ask that Tiffany Jansen, our commercial finance director, please join us and give a brief description for the board.
Welcome, Tiffany.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm a little under the weather, so I apologize for the hoarse voice, and hopefully I don't lose it in presenting it. So today we are talking about Artillery Park, LLC, as Alan has said before. They are owned by Kluna Development Services and Kluna Inc., which will also be guaranteeing the loan. Northern Bank is the originating lender, and they have requested ADA's participation in $2,763,805, which is 90% participation in a little over a $3 million loan. This is for a refinance of a majority non-owner occupied retail building in Eagle River. So it's about 85% non-owner occupied, so 15% owner occupied by Kluna. It's located in off of the core business district of Eagle River. So Artillery Park is actually the street that goes across the middle Eagle River exit over the overpass. So the building itself is actually located on Mosel Street, but I think people will be more familiar with the Artillery Park area. This was a new build back in 2014. Took them a couple of years to complete the construction. It did have 10 temporary construction jobs associated with it, 4 new permanent jobs, and 9 jobs will be retained as a portion of this refinance. Artillery Park itself is a real estate holding company organized in 2014 for this particular property. It is again owned 100% by Kluna Development Services, and the company was just created to hold title of the subject collateral. Kluna Development Services is owned by Kluna Inc., which was created underneath the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act in 1972. And the collateral will be managed internally by Noah Kramer, who serves as the real estate and property coordinator for Kluna Development Services. The guarantor, Kluna Inc., is also the largest private landowner in the municipality of Anchorage. They own over 90,000 acres in the muni, including areas in Eagle River, Birchwood, Tugak, Peters Creek, and Kluna. Additionally, the corporation has significant holdings in the Mat-Su Borough. Approximately also 67,000 additional acres will be conveyed to them from the Bureau of Land Management. So our staff visited the property in August. It consists of two one-story Class D buildings totaling about 31,000 square feet on 2.5 acres. The value was listed at $6.5 million, and the life of the collateral is at about 50 years. The DSCR based off of the current tenants is 1.96. The reason this is coming to board is because they do have some additional loans with us, so total aggregate exposure for this particular project will be $7.5 million, just over that. Environmental, there are no concerns at this time. There was a phase one completed in preparation for development. The market for Eagle River is competitive and overall has good tenant appeal. This is listed as having excellent tenant appeal due to the fact that it is a new build, which is not as common in Eagle River as it is in the Valley. So it does have ability to attract higher quality tenants and for a longer period of term. Our portfolio diversification for this, so this will be, again, a Class C property. This will move us into a 7% overall in our portfolio in that area. Our retainment industry will be recreation. The main occupying tenant as far as square footage is gym, and so that will be up to 7% as well. And then aggregate exposure overall for this particular project in the portfolio will be 2% with that area exposure. The lead underwriter has commented, Northrim, that they have approved this loan due to the strong financial support and experience of the developers and management team and the potential for further new business. I would also say that even though with the jobs we talked about that it's going to have the 9 retained and the 4 new, because this has created new space for tenants, it indirectly creates dozens of jobs through those new businesses coming over. ADA recommends that due to the excellent condition, high marketability of the growing Eagle River area, the quality long-term tenants that they have, and the guarantors that have diverse revenue streams, and the sufficient network to support the collateral, we recommend to go ahead and move ahead with this participation at 90%. I would also say that we have Northrim, John Damjanovic, on the line, and then we also should have Kyle Smith, who is the land asset manager for Eklutna, if you should have further questions.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Howard?
Thanks for the presentation. Appreciate it. I forget, did you mention there's a gym as one of the non-owner occupied in the space?
Yes.
Or is that the only other tenant? Is there, what industry is another tenant?
There's also a brewery in there. There's a selection of tenants. I can pull out the rent roll, but there are about six other tenants of various. But the gym just puts them just over for square footage. And then, of course, the Eklutna as well.
And maybe for some of the newer board members that have not been, don't know about the recent portfolio diversification limits that we put in place. Can you speak to that and where we are in relation to our limits?
Sure. Let me go ahead.
That's my only question, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Albert.
Absolutely. So I can go over that. We do have the portfolio diversification for this individual loan as far as the class and the repayment industry type. We also look at our industry type against a $500 million allocation. So we have done that as well, and that is included in the loan dashboard. We are not over the limit in any of the top five at this time, so none are exceeding the limits. And like I said, the updated limits right now, we're well under, with the recreation industry at 7% and aggregate exposure at being 2% for this particular borrower. So right now, we're not exceeding any limits. I'm sorry? Sure. Would you like me to go over the specifics, industries from the repayment scenario in the loan dashboard?
Whenever we get to the loan dashboard.
Okay.
So what I'd like to add is for the public that is listening in is that within the memorandum itself, and that's on page 4 of 5 of the memorandum, is a breakdown of the impact that this new participation would have on that diversification. So with those numbers, really what it's highlighting is within the, prior to the loan, we're talking about an impact within the repayment industry at 6% concentration. After the proposed loan, it would be 7% with the repayment industry. The collateral building class is moving from 6% to 7% of the portfolio. And then within the Anchorage region itself, its prior proposed loan was at 42%, and after the proposed loan, we're talking about 43%.
And we can't have any repayment industry exceed 25% individually or a top five exceeding 50% overall, and we're not exceeding any of those limits at this time.
All right. Any further questions from the board? I'll entertain a motion, Bill.
This is Bill Kendig. I move this board enter into executive session to discuss confidential business matters related to the loan petition participation proposed in resolution L22-03. A public discussion of these matters would have an adverse effect upon the finances of ADA, and ADA is required by law to protect certain borrower information as confidential. The executive session is supported by the Open Meetings Act, which allows the board to consider specific confidential matters in the executive session.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Sandy, would you pull the board, please?
Commissioner Hennedy? Mr. Fetcher?
Yes.
Mr. Kende?
Yes.
Ogle?
Yes.
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 Yeah, that's another yes.
That's a yes.
All right, we're in the executive session.
Chair, you are on the record.
Thank you, Mary. So I'll advise that the board not take any action on that to discuss while executive session. And the session was limited to discussion information related to this resolution. All right, so we're out of executive session, so we have before us resolution L22-03, Artillery Park, LLC.
I move resolution number L22-03.
It's Bill DeLamar, I'll second the motion.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, Ramey, would you pull the board, please?
Mr. Zandi? Mr. Fetzer?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Ellich?
Yes.
Mr. Vivalore?
Yes.
Chair Cruz?
Yes. Thank you. Next item under new business is resolution 22-09, Bluecrest Energy Loan Modification Extension. Alan?
Chairman and board members, before the board is resolution number G2209, which is a resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority approving amendments to loan agreement with Bluecrest Alaska Operating LLC and co-borrowers. We have attached with the agenda memorandum.
I don't know
who that is.
Excuse me, phone number 907-261-3330. Can you identify yourself, please? Will the phone number 907-261-3330 please identify yourself?
This is John Danielovich with North Rim Bank.
John, we've concluded that resolution for the time.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, John, thank you. Thanks for joining.
You're welcome.
Chairman, again, we have before the board resolution number G2209, which is a resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority approving amendments to loan agreement with Bluecrest Alaska Operating LLC and co-borrowers. Attached to the resolution and was also linked onto our agenda is a memorandum from ADA staff, myself and ADA staff, which is representing a bit of the history as behind the loans that were made by ADA to Bluecrest, which really is fully supporting a rig that they have for the development of the Constellation oil and gas field. I also want to identify the fact that we have John Martinick, who's President and Chief Operating Officer of Bluecrest, who's here in the meeting with us, and would ask him to please join us, join myself at the table, to give you a bit of a history and background information on what activities Bluecrest has undertaken before we talk about what is actually being requested at this point with the modifications. John, thank you very much for joining us.
Welcome, John.
Thank you. Good morning to the chair and to the board members. As Alan said, I'm the president and chief operating officer of Bluecrest Alaska Operating LLC. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity for being able to update you this morning. More than that, I want to thank you for taking a risk on Bluecrest and giving us a $30 million loan to build the largest rig at the time in Alaska for our development program. It's been a blessing to the Bluecrest family and to the Cook Inlet community for the loan that you have extended us. Because of that $30 million loan, we were able to add 2.8 billion cubic feet of natural gas to the local community for heating houses and generating electricity. We've also been able to add 1.8 million barrels of crude oil for refining into gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel for the local area. In addition to that, we have paid $18.3 million of state royalties. We've paid $15.9 million of property taxes for a total of $35.2 million. In addition to that, we have created hundreds of jobs, and I'm saying hundreds and hundreds of jobs, for people on our site. In addition to that, we have generated a lot of supporting jobs in the Alaska community. One example of that is Builder's Choice, which is also an ADA-supported business that built our camp, and they're here in Anchorage. Of the $30 million loan that we received from ADA, we've paid back $18.6 million in principal and $10.3 million in interest for a total of $27.1 million. Bluecrest has a bright future, but it didn't come without growing pains. One of the biggest hurdles we had to overcome was the tax credit program that was halted in the middle of our drilling program. At that time, the state stopped any investing in the drilling that we were doing, and they also did not pay the $105 million that we had already spent that we now had to compensate for in our drilling budget. As a small company, I can assure you $105 million was a challenge to overcome. We sold those credits, pennies on the dollars, just to stay alive. Without the understanding of our senior loan investors, Bluecrest would have struggled. Without the grace that the board here at ADA granted us, Bluecrest would have struggled. There was a lot of other folks that participated in the same program that was helping Alaska, and especially in the Cook Inlet region, with the gas problem that was currently in place. Fury was one of those companies. They went bankrupt. Cook Inlet Energy was one of those companies. They went bankrupt. Buccaneer, who was the partner with us in this program, went bankrupt. We took over their interest and continued on with the project. Again, Bluecrest has a bright future. We have the largest known underdeveloped reservoir in the Cook Inlet area. Ryder Scott is a world-renowned reservoir engineering firm that has done our reserve report for us over the years, and it has adjusted it several times based on actual production that we've had in the area. They estimate currently our reserves to be over 300 million barrels. If we were just to recover the lowest amount that any field in the inlet has produced to this point, we would recover 60 million of those barrels. If we were to recover the average of the fields in the Cook Inlet area, we would recover 114 million barrels. If we were to recover the highest amount, which is Swanson River, we would recover 180 million of the 300 million barrels in place. Along with that, we have 15 billion cubic feet of associated gas that would come along with that oil production. The Cook Inlet region is once again knocking at the door of a gas issue, a gas shortage. Over the last 3 years, the Cook Inlet used more gas than it's produced. Matter of fact, they've pulled down their inventories by a third in the last 3 years. Bluecrest can help with that issue. We talked about the oil reservoir. We talked about the rig that you guys allowed us to build. That rig gives us the ability to drill our oil reserves. We also have another reservoir above the field that we have not produced out of yet, but we've tested back in 2013. The estimated reserves in that field on a 3P basis, which is proved, possible, and probable, is 370 billion cubic feet of gas. That would go a long way in helping the issue with the that the inlet is currently facing. We based our entire development on that one well that we drilled back in 2013 that gave us the ability to buy a $30 million rig and to build over a $100 million facility and to drill four long-reach extended what we call fishbone wells, which gives us 800-foot spacings. So we are now in the area where we are trying to get the additional money that we need to continue the development program we have. We have three more what we call Trident wells, which are 24 wells each on 800-foot spacings that would be drilled out in the oil reservoir. We have two bilateral wells, which would be 16 wells each on 800-foot spacings, all which would be done with the rig that you have supplied us. The discussions that we have right now going on with our current financing options are very encouraging. So thanks for the opportunity for allowing me to update you on what Blue Crest has done to this point.
Thank you very much, John. What I also add to the board is that we provided some additional information about some business plan information, which is confidentially provided to us, as well as have had briefed the board on some other discussions that are also confidential in nature related to the planning that Blue Crest is undertaking that John would be able to address, but we would need to enter into an executive session for that discussion. If there's any questions we can address right now, or Chair, it's really your decision at this point.
No, I think maybe the only question I'd ask, what are you producing now?
Currently, we produce about 800 barrels a day and about a million cubic feet of gas.
And do you have contracts for those?
Yes, we do.
Short-term, long-term, market, spot markets?
So we have a contract right now, and it's public information. We sell that.
I'm asking a question.
Yep, we sell the NSTAR at a $7.70 price, $7.70 price, which is above the market. Okay. And we currently sell our oil to the only refinery we can, which is Marathon in the Kenai area. So, and that's a formula pricing.
How do you handle the spikes when NSTAR doesn't burn a lot of gas, use a lot of gas in the summer? Are they filling the reservoir back up?
Yes. Okay. They'll put into the Sings reservoir when they are not using. Okay. We've never had gas produced that has gone unsold.
Okay.
Yeah.
Randy?
John, appreciate it. Couple of questions. So you mentioned several well plans that you were going to pursue. What's that total number of well bores that you're going to drill?
So the way we're drilling, we have what we call a mother bore, and then we have three laterals off of that. And then in those laterals, we actually have what we call fish bones, which we drill up into the reservoir. And we'll back up and go forward and drill up into the reservoir. And we do that eight times in each one of those laterals. So those Trident wells produce 24 800-foot spacing wells. We've got three of those planned, so three times 24. And then we have two bilateral wells, which would also have 800-foot spacings, eight fish bones up into it, so 16 times 2 for each one of those, 16 times 2 for each bilateral well.
And the rig that you purchased is capable of doing these designer wells. Aren't those extended reach over 20,000 feet, or can you give me some kind of idea about the distance?
Yes, sir. So we drill out about 3.5 miles to the reservoir. We drill from an onshore location just outside of Anchor Point at mile marker 150, if you're familiar with that area. And we'll drill from that onshore location out to the reservoir, which is in the Cook Inlet, and we'll drill down about 7,600 feet, 3 miles out, and then we'll drill up into the reservoir. It's a unique way of drilling our wells. When we first started drilling these, fracking was kind of the rage, but fracking proved not to be useful in our area, so we actually drill our fracks. And those are those fish bones that we space on 800-foot spacings. But it gives us the ability to economically and cost-effectively drill that or drain that entire reservoir.
So So with the drilling equipment that you have, you're not horsepower limited?
No, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, John.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman,
Robert.
Thanks for your presentation and coming to our board and answering our questions. It shows a lot of commitment to not only your company, but to Alaska.
Absolutely.
And can you let us know how many employees, Alaska employees, that you have at your site down in Kenai?
So we have employees in Anchorage here, and we have employees down at the site. Right now we employ about 12 people on the production side at the site. When you're not drilling, it's pretty efficient in terms of the number of people. All of those are Alaska residents. In our Anchorage office, we have about 8 people there, all, again, Alaska residents.
Thank you very much. I'd like to see that you're hiring Alaskans. Much kudos to you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Through the chair, Board Member Fogle, we have prior information when you were, if I can ask a question to give the background, when you had drilling operations in place, how many Alaskans were you employing?
We were employing about 300 employees at that time. Most of those were Alaskan people. I would say 95% range was the Alaskan employees. And we're committed to doing that.
Thank you.
Any further discussions? Then we'll take a motion.
I move resolution number
2.
I move that the board enter an executive session to discuss confidential business matters that related to the loan modification proposed in resolution G2209. A public discussion of these matters would have an adverse effect upon the finances of ADA. ADA is required by law to protect certain borrower information as confidential, and ADA is required by law to not prejudice the reputation or character of any person. This executive session is supported by the Open Meetings Act, which allows a board to consider the specific confidential matters in executive session.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Randy, would you pull the board to go into executive session?
Yes, sir. Commissioner Sandy? Mr. Fechter?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
Yes.
Mr. Ellich?
Yes.
Mr. Vivamore?
Yes.
Chair Bruce?
Yes. Thank you. Yes. We're now in executive session. So, Wendy, where are we at on?
Chair, you are on the record.
Thank you. I'll note it's about 10:34. And I'll advise that the public, that the board has not made take any action on matters discussed while in executive session. The session was limited to discussion and protected information directly related to this resolution 22-09. All right, so if we 22-09, I will take a motion to put it on the floor.
This is Bill Kindig. I move resolution number G2209.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Thank you. Discussion, Alan?
Chair, board members, we have a requested revision on the resolution, and this would be in section 1, page 2 of the resolution. We're looking to add language that says, effectively from conditions recommended as set forth in the memorandum, comma, to add now language saying, but for the recommendation as to the top drive replacement and reinstallation as to which the executive director has discretion.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to modify the agenda or the resolution?
This is Bill Kindig. I make a motion to modify the resolution as was just presented.
This is Albert. I'll second the amendment.
Is there any objection to the modification of the resolution? Hearing none. All right. Further discussion on the modified resolution. Commissioner Sandy, I just want to make sure you hear us.
I can hear you.
All right.
Thank you. All right, seeing no further discussion, Randy, would you poll the board, please?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Hendig?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Beavermore?
Yes.
Thank you. And John, thank you for coming today.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
Brings us now to resolution, or to new, under new business, resolution G22-10, Alaska Ship Program Extension. John? Or, I'm sorry, Ellen?
Board Chair, and board members, we have before you resolution number G2210, which is a resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority converting the Alaska Ship Home Porting for Improvements Program, or what we reference as AK Ship, from trial period to permanent adopted financing facility, which would be under statutory level 4488172. So with the resolution at hand requesting that permanent adoption, we also have a memorandum that's been attached to the resolution, which is also linked on our agenda, which gives a description and history behind the purpose of incorporating the AK Ship program, and then also going through the details of the economics that are behind it, and then our recommendation ultimately for permanent adoption. What I would like to briefly preface and also highlight that Morgan Neff, our Chief Investment Officer, is joining me at the table and is the current manager for the program under 4488-172. The board adopted this program back in 2019 to address a discordance in the region between Alaska and its support of its shipyards and as example, Canada and also the Puget Sound area in ways that ship cycle work that was being basically financed or undertaken or supported by different areas within the region. There was nothing currently present within Alaska that did this, or provided effectively the same level of support. So we introduced the AK Ship program at that point in time to level the playing field within the region and to really help assist our shipyards be more competitive. Now, there has not been a large utilization of the program, and it was initiated in 2019 with the understanding that UnCruise at that time would look to have cycle work done at the Ketchikan shipyard for approximately, we set aside effectively $3 million of the $10 million that the program has allocated for their work. UnCruise had one of their ships actually do the work there at the Ketchikan shipyard, and then through other issues, COVID-19 impacts, other economic impacts that came from the global pandemic restricted their current utilization of that allocation of the program. We did see other borrowers come through, Drake Construction and recently approved under the program Northern Marine. So we have seen this utilization and its effectiveness for Alaska borrowers to do their work at Alaska shipyards. And we are making the request at this point in time to make it a more permanent program with the caveat that we would actively look at marketing the program itself and providing information to all of Alaska's shipyards, making more broadly aware or bring awareness ultimately to the program, which we believe will lead to more utilization, which does have a good return ultimately for ADA, which can be reinvested into new projects within Alaska. That's my general overview for it. I would ask Morgan if you could get into a little bit of how you're seeing the program working and how you would like to continue with it.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. As Alan mentioned, the program did start in 2019, and it was unfortunate that it started right before the COVID pandemic, so it didn't have an opportunity to really establish the legs that it has and make a full run at going out and being a viable option to a lot of these businesses that participate in the program. If you just look at the ship manufacturing space or the businesses within Alaska, you know, it's estimated that there's, you know, approximately 20 that employ over 400 people. I'm taking what I've seen with some of our existing programs, like the loan participation program, and seeing that the communication and the adoption of that program has at some point been misunderstood. And so what I've been working with Commercial Finance Director Tiffany Jensen on is reestablishing that communication program with loan participation. And we're starting to see a lot of smaller financial institutions look at participating because there were some misconceptions. I believe that a communications plan that would roll out effectively and efficiently would not only advise that this program is available to many of these commercial businesses, but also maybe smooth out some of the misconceptions that are associated with the program, if there are any. We just have not rolled that out yet, and I'm also pleased to say that I believe it is a scalable position because of the expenses that were primarily absorbed establishing the program back in 2019. If you look on page 2 of the memo, you'll see that we've outlined that the program, including staff time and internal and external legal costs, establishing the program cost approximately $93,000. To date, with the two loans that we've made, which have been made and have been fully paid off, including fee income, we have far exceeded the cost. Therefore, I believe the contribution margin to each new loan coming into the program is going to be that much greater because it's now reached that critical efficiencies of scale. And I believe with attaching that to a communication and kind of a marketing plan, letting the shipbuilders and ship repair facilities know that this type of program exists, we should see an increase in loan originations, which ultimately trickle down to the benefits and economic development that our mission is assigned to.
Thank you, Morgan. Questions? Morgan? Alan? All right. Take a motion.
This is Bill Kendig. I move resolution number G22-10.
This is Albert. I'll second.
Thank you. Discussion.
This is Commissioner Sandy. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can hear you. Go ahead, Julie.
I just wanted to commend the staff, both Morgan and Alan. I think that this is a great example of how the staff at ADA and the program and the board support, thinking outside of the box when there are gaps in abilities, especially this as a financing tool. I think it's been effective, and I just appreciate the support, and I also just appreciate all of the effort to stand this program up and fully support it moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. I agree with the Commissioner's comments, and look forward to seeing more activity, all right. Further comments? Hearing none. Randy, would you please pull the board?
Commissioner Sandy?
Yes.
Mr. Fechter?
Yes.
Mr. Kende?
Yes.
Mr. Fogle?
Yes.
Mr. Ellich?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Beavermore?
Yes.
Chair Cruz?
Yes. Thank you. Brings us to item number D on a new business, calendar year 2023, ADA board meeting schedule. Has everybody had a chance to take a look at that? Do we have to formally adopt that? I don't think so.
We have, through a motion previously, adopting the dates, and we would then record that with public notice initially. If there's any change, we would update that certainly on the public notice.
Does anybody have any heartburn with the proposed schedule?
I do.
What do you got, Randy?
So is it possible to slip the September meeting to the 21st, which would be on a Thursday instead of the 13th of September?
To the board, that really is a decision of the board in defining the meeting dates.
That would be 23,
mm-hmm.
September of 23.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to do it when?
I think it's Thursday the 21st, as opposed to
what's normally 13th. Wednesdays. Aren't we doing Wednesdays?
Right, so...
It would be Wednesday the 20th?
So, I think we may have...
Yeah. So right now it's September 13th, which is a Wednesday. So a week later would be the 20th.
So my logic is that moose hunters will still be in the field on the 13th, and generally in the state, the season for a lot of the areas ends on the 20th. So I thought that the 21st would be appropriate date for maximum participation possibilities. So what I said is, moose hunting runs to the 20th, and
okay.
I would like to move it to the 21st, but it's at the board's approval.
So every day is, every one of them is Wednesdays, right? Okay. All right, board comments, we're moving it to a different day a week later.
Right now I don't have anything, but...
Yeah, okay. All right,
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I'd like to suggest that both boards, ADA and AEA, do strategic planning in February. And then in July, we have a meeting to go visit the Ambler Access Road and Red Dog Mine. We had talked about doing that previously.
So, when was it?
I was saying sometime in July we would go to Ambler Access and view the progress. And then, since we're in that area, hopefully.
I don't know if there's much to see, is there? Next summer?
With the, we have talked about it, and Chair, you've highlighted it. We do have the partner with Ambler Metals that has exploration and camp set up that we could look at the mineral district area. There would not be really much to see along the road development because we're all in pre-feasibility, and it's really mostly cultural resource activity.
Could we potentially meet with, you know, like have representatives from NANA there, and I forget the other regional corporation.
Doyon is the other
corporation.
We can certainly reach out to them. What I would suggest as a thought on this is we've always talked about having a meeting that's outside of Anchorage and possibly with August 2nd meeting being set up that we look at having that in Kotzebue. That would accommodate looking at the, you know, access to the Ambler Mining District and a request and we'll be put in to have a review of the Red Dog facility.
That'd be fine with me.
So what do you think the expense would be?
We've already budgeted. That's in our travel plan, actually, for 2023.
For the August.
All right. That's a request, so we'll discuss what the best is here. What was the other request?
February
strategic planning. And I believe we were thinking about doing it at Chino.
Okay. For the next board meeting, we'll take a look at that and come back.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but we definitely changed to Thursday the 21st.
All right. So do we need a motion to accept this agenda?
We have not passed.
This is Bill Kendig. I move we accept the proposed meeting schedule for the ADA board meeting for 2023 as presented.
With the modification.
With the modification for September.
Okay. This is Albert. I'll second.
Any objection? And it's approved. Okay. Why don't we take a 5-minute break?
Chair, you are on the record.
Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. So up under director's comments is the update of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Military Zone Development.
Chair, board members, we have an update. What we will try to do with each meeting now as far as an update on the military facility zone development that we're looking at with the City of North Pole. So last month we made a presentation, and what we've attached ultimately and linked with the agenda is some of the changes that came from the conversation that we had with the board, just to show that that has been updated, reflecting, you know, some more of the specifics as far as what ADA's engagement is. We're really only looking at the land development, utility development, hookups available for housing contractors, but as is traditionally utilized with home construction or any of these unit constructions, the builders themselves are going to have to ultimately connect with those links that we're putting in place with the master development. The other side of it is we're highlighting there's current discussions going on with the City of North Pole about the master planning development agreement, or I believe the master development agreement. And I really would ask Angela Keast, our program manager, and then our acting chief operating officer, to give us a bit of an update on the timeline that the City of North Pole is undertaking with that agreement itself, and also with the purchase of the land.
Yes, thank you, Director. The City of North Pole has met and discussed the mutual development agreement as recently as this past Monday, and plans to discuss it again next Monday, September 19th, including some of the modifications that ADA has requested. And in so doing, they've also requested an extension on the close date on the property to September 23rd. So next Monday's meeting will be a crucial one. And you know, there is a request for ADA to participate in advance to try to work through some of the discussion items on the mutual development agreement.
So that's really where the update at this point in time, where the development stands. We're really working with the City of North Pole to conclude that mutual development agreement. We're looking for them to ultimately put in place the process to acquire the land. The way that the mutual development agreement is currently drafted, and this is with language from the City of North Pole, is that they would only be transferring the land to ADA once it is within, once it's been annexed. And by it being annexed into the City of North Pole, then we know it's within a military facility zone.
How are the economics looking?
The economics at this point haven't changed too much, although, I don't know, Morgan, our Chief Investment Officer, he's been really looking at different updates on the assumptions that we've been making. There have been no changes on the revenue side, which is related to the housing allowance for military the rank and their families. But as far as the cost components, has there been any adjustment?
Not material, but what I'm seeing that is material and is cause for a little bit of concern is I'm seeing multiple instances, not necessarily tied to this development, but other developments where there are financial institutions attached to the construction side, and then with the construction costs continuing to inflate or have had elevated levels, there's now several instances throughout multiple communities within Alaska where there's a gap financing that's needed. As of now, the banks aren't stepping up off their original underwriting and fulfilling the additional costs associated with the build-out. So that's just more of a macro perspective, but it's continuing to be a pervasive issue across multiple developers and investors throughout all of Alaska. And there's a need now for capital that's kind of to finish a lot of these projects now because you're not seeing it necessarily come through as an extension or an increased construction loan from the financial institutions as of yet. They may end up coming to the table with that additional capital, but I'm now seeing a lot of this coming up and becoming more second verse names the first type stories. So
over to the desktop appraisals on the theoretical facilities that they're building, keeping up with the inflation?
Are the appraisals? I think the appraisals in themselves were already factored in because some of these are fairly new builds. It's really the commitment on the construction side that didn't keep up with some of the inflationary pressures with certain costs. And I know that there are, and this is also inclusive of builds that are, you know, very higher margin too. It's not skimming on a margin profile perspective. So.
One of the issues when you talk about the surveys and or appraisals, what we encountered very early in the due diligence and talking with the Fairbanks North Star Borough community, and feedback really from the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation, there is a gap on appraisals within the market itself. There's not the same valuation that's given to weather requirements or home heating and facilitating lower costs on utilities. That doesn't get represented broadly into the appraisals as a kitchen countertop would. And so it's trying to identify how you bring in those improvements that are actually real cost components to the ongoing investment by housing lessor in this case that we need to bring into the development itself. It's another factor on the appraisals that need to catch up.
Yeah, but is it? So when the question, the reason why I asked that question is typically an appraisal, you've got three different ways to appraise.
Right.
One of it is replacement, right? So there's the cost to build it, there's a cost to replace it, and there's what's out there on the market for sale. So what I mean by is it catching up, is the replacement cost component of the three ways you look at, and they pick one or a combination of the three when you go to evaluate a piece of property or an infrastructure. Is the replacement cost coming up to match the additional new construction costs?
I don't think there is a one-for-one at this point yet. No, I think that they're still relying. Correct. If that's what your question was, then I misinterpreted. Yes, it remains lagging. Yes.
Because that plays into, you know, future loans. The data does, obviously,
mm-hmm.
And that's a conversation that, you know, the Fairbanks and, you know, Anchorage and those folks, economic development groups, they should be having a talk with their appraising groups on that issue itself.
Part of the task force includes the parties that are on the appraisal. You know, they've been involved in all the conversations. We've included them in our conversations, and Bill Buildenmore, our board member, has joined us in those conversations at Fairbanks. With the lending side, that has included the appraisers because of that particular issue, making sure that what gets invested, the cost of construction, ultimately gets conveyed into the appraisal for the, you know, financing, ultimately for the housing contractor, and then ultimately to the takeout of the facility itself, long-term financing for the facility,
well,
which would involve
the revenue side. You guys said that it really hasn't changed, right? And we got the base, what do they call it, the BOMA? Or what?
The base allowance for housing.
And Fairbanks is actually less than other places. You know,
by a considerable margin.
Does it make sense for this board to pass a resolution giving it to our congressional delegation, identifying that issue and the jeopardy it puts this project in by not getting that change?
Chair, we have a report was prepared by Morgan Neff and Angela Keys provided information on there. We provided that to Senator Murkowski. Senator Murkowski has presented that information, I believe this was back in the early part of June, to the military command of that report. So it's
but the board's support of that information through a resolution.
If the board wanted to take that action, that would certainly be identifying, you know, the information, the importance of the information.
It is super important, the revenue side, obviously, especially with cost of construction.
And Senator Sullivan's office, have you copied him on all this?
What do you think, Bill?
I agree.
But that resolution will hit all the players, all the parties that have a stake in this.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, we're already in communication, but it can't hurt to pass a resolution and show our support for both of them.
Support to increase the BOEM, or whatever you want to call it.
The BOEM, the base allowance for
average.
The rising interest rates, that also declines the feasibility of this as well?
But that's where we're, you're correct. It does. It makes it, creates a larger capital cost for investors or developers, but that's where we're not seeing a one-for-one offset, but we're seeing some costs start to...
I'm thinking on the end user, the buyer, lowers their buying.
Yeah, there won't be... This is traditionally going to be a rental market. There won't be, the military has indicated that these are, 1 to 2 year max type rentals. And so it's really affecting the underlying developer or investor that's building the multifamily for it to be a rental for the city of North Pole and the military.
So anyone who's building housing units may be made available for the expanding military community in the Fairbanks North Star Borough is going to be facing the same issue where, as you're highlighting, Board Member Fogel, that higher interest rates are going to be reflected into higher lease rates. Higher construction costs are going to be reflected into those lease rates. And the intention of this development is to try to take out some key cost components. And we budgeted at this point. Again, we have not made the proposal yet to the board, but our budget is within $11, $15 million of ADA funding that would be looking at long-term finance for the master planning for the land. By being able to remove that from the cost component of a housing contractor, they're not looking at recovering that investment over 10 years. We're looking at it over, a longer, more patient period of time. So that should hopefully lower the lease rate.
Like we do, like we did earlier today on the loan with the building, that term, 20, 25 years?
It would be similar to that type of term, yes. That's how we're looking at it right now, but we would need to know the full numbers of it. But effectively, it's that mismatch, and something is going to have to get recognized as well. I'm sure an adjustment would have to be made across all military facility zones or facility housing authorities within the U.S. to recognize the fact that there's higher interest costs that are out there, higher construction costs.
Now, the last time we had a conversation with representatives from our delegation, they were saying that this is now translated into more of a national issue. It's not just a Fairbanks issue, which, we're focused on Fairbanks, but we're also wanting to make sure all military across the United States have the adequate level of resources in order to have adequate housing. But it's the same problem in Texas, it's the same problem elsewhere. So I know that this has taken on a more national view, but we're continuing to push it for that community, and we're continuing to have weekly meetings, if not every other week meetings, with representatives from the delegation.
Well, I didn't understand a motion, or not a motion, but a future resolution on identifying the criticalness of the BOEM.
Chair, we will bring a resolution to the board with the
BOEM.
Chair, we'll bring a resolution to the board at the next meeting, which we identify as October 24th. October 26th. Wednesday, October 26th will be the next board meeting.
So do you have any idea about when the DOT is going to respond to McCaskey?
They are, as far as I know, Board Member Ellidge, they are actively engaged with military command to get an understanding of how they're going to be looking at specifically the Fairbanks area based on what we've identified. All I can represent is that we are actively working every week, talking with both our delegation staff about the issue and the follow-up and where we're at with the development. So they're paying very close attention to this.
No requests for additional information.
There are active requests from our delegation to the military command on how they're looking to address the housing rates in the Fairbanks area.
Okay.
Board Member Ellis, the next catalyst we have, and that is that the bar assessment going into the end of the year should be concluding in the next month or two, and that report should be available by December. That's correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that will be our nearest term catalyst to see if any adjustments have been made through that process within Fairbanks, or really throughout any of the military housing areas within Alaska.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you.
Does that process allow for us to give that support? I mean, it's supposed to be an independent process, right? The BAH, how they set that. Do we have the ability to make sure that they have the information that you, the research that you've done to show the disparity between different markets in Alaska specifically?
We have encouraged our involvement and our at least the passing of the information and analysis that we've done to the representatives that conduct that. I would say that's probably one area that has been arm's length distance where we have not had the ability to communicate very thoroughly with that group. So, not by the way, not for the lack of trying. So, yeah.
So what I would identify is that while the official rates for the following year get published in December, there is still the opportunity for the military command to make a emergency provision. So that could be announced at any point in time. That is what our delegation is actively working on.
So is that the resolution that we're talking about bringing before the board, one that specifically requests an emergency designation? This is Commissioner Sandy.
That is something we could certainly put into that, Commissioner Sandy, into the wording of the resolution that we put forward. I think, in my view, that's a very good suggestion.
Just with the understanding that any emergency, relief that is provided is only temporary, and it does have the ability to revert back to the original boss. So that's something we need to keep in mind. It should be comprehensive. If there's an emergency plus a permanent solution to the BAW adjustments in the area. So,
just FYI.
So my suggestion would be if possible to include the language of both of those things in the resolution, both for advocating for the emergency provision with the caveat that, of course, the backdrop has to be a permanent solution.
Thank you, Commissioner.
No one refers to BAH as BAH. It's BAH. The correct nomenclature.
The money. All right. Let's move on to the loan dashboard report. Thank you.
So, before the board is our monthly loan dashboard report. The most notable thing I really want to identify to the board is that this report itself was printed out through our division system. Now, it has not been done that way, since I can remember. It has not been done that way it's always been a handwritten report that ultimately has been published. It has usually taken 2 weeks to put this information together. Part of the complication is that our loan system and our accounting system were not actually reporting information or being able to aggregate it accurately. We had to go through a long process, and this is really what I'm trying to identify, the work of Tiffany Jansen as our commercial finance director and her background and experience in the commercial markets and working with the private sector as a loan underwriter and operating systems. It's our chief investment officer, Morgan Neff, and his experience in working with different systems that we have really been spending, I would say, the last 6 months. This really started back in January, February, so longer than that, almost 7 months, to get to the point to be able to have a report that actually gets issued and is presented within a day and doesn't completely stop our systems and have people not input information for 2 weeks.
Well, so, I will tell you, and the information is a lot easier to follow.
So these are automatic improvements.
Very much appreciated.
These are issues of productivity within the organization that we have been undertaking for the last year and a half, and again, I really want to identify these two people sitting at our table, Donna as well, involved in this, that have really made this available, and we're actually following on this to make systems more reportable between ADA and AEA within our existing systems. And it's untying what has been done previously to be able to get to this point.
And just lastly, Justin Dixon, who has we've now moved him over. We're working with him directly, and he's dedicated to this system and reporting process. And without his involvement and expertise, I would say that all of our thoughts and expertise on this side would be generally ideas without an execution plan. So I would like to make sure Justin is recognized for his ability and what he's brought to the table in his reporting.
So you may recall that we did a system upgrade in 2018 or 2019 on the vision. And this has been a process of unweaving that and really trying to get it to a point of being able to be productive. We are moving the organization from what has been very paper-focused, and even with a central data system that relied on a paper focus, to getting it actually being operational like a financial institution. And that is the critical element of that, is bringing in people that have the capacity internally to be able to manage our external consultants. And I think it's great we are identifying, because Justin Dixon is exactly one of those people within our IT group that's been able to address it. But I do say it's these two people sitting at the table now that have been driving that.
Well, and I would like to say thank you to Alan, because without making it a priority and allowing us the resources to be able to get this done, he definitely made it a forefront and made this make it a reality. So I do appreciate the good comments, and hopefully if you have any other issues with it or things that you'd like to see or comments, I'd love to hear them. We definitely try to change the look of it as well to match more towards the annual report and the branding of ADA.
It seems very comprehensive. Thank you.
Well, we normally don't try to make that much out of a report. It's actually the productivity that now we have back in the organization and able to actually convey correct information. That's critically what we're trying to identify. But Tiffany, I would say you and your group's team is better spent actually focusing on our clients, you know, the financial institutions in Alaska being more responsive to Alaskans, our mission, than in spending 2 weeks to prepare a report.
You're spending more time formatting than you are actually delivering on the information, right?
Mr. Chairman. Well, I think Alan will remember this. I think a long time ago it took us 2 months to close out our books. So this is such a huge improvement. So I thank all of you who have made this possible. One thing that I think I brought up before, and tell me if I should be concerned, Morgan or Alan, is our ending balance has now dropped down below 400,000, and I see, even though it's only from 7/1 to 7/31, only new loans. 400 million. Yes, yeah, sorry. $400 million.
So through the chair, Board Member Fogle, I'm not surprised you have the question, right? Because we've had the conversation.
Because I think it used to be at 4:30, and you know, so to me, I'm a little concerned that we're not bringing enough new loans on to replace the ones that are being paid off.
So we had fewer loans being added last year than we had anticipated. The number what we had budgeted was around $60 million in new loan financings. We only had $27 million in new loan financings.
Okay.
That also got coupled with the fact that some fairly large payoffs that occurred during the year, which brought the balance below. Now, what the impact, I believe, is the case is that we have a recovery timeline and an issue of increasing interest rates following COVID-19. That impacted what our expectations were from last year. However, I know in conversations with Morgan, with Tiffany, that we have a lot that's in the pipeline right now, because I think at this stage, borrowers were preparing their information over last year coming to ADA with their applications, and in this case, indications of pre-flights. And they've also adjusted to the higher interest rate environment that we have. So the anticipation, broadly, again, we're talking about a budget at this point in time, anticipating, I believe it would be in the same range of about $50 million to $60
million. Yes, we've done about $30 million in green-lighted pre-flights. In the back of your packet underneath the 7B, it does go into our pending applications. Now, this is always a little bit delayed. Obviously, we've added some since then.
What page is this?
This is page 11 of that section. That's the pending applications as of that point. And page 9 shows you the anticipated funding, things we've already approved that are due to come through. That's about $10.5 million. And the pending applications are a little over 7. For the first month of the year, we did, as Alan was alluding to, we did have another large payoff of over $11 million in July. So that's a large payoff for us. That's more than principal pay downs. You can see that's on page 1 on our loan dashboard. Principal scheduled payments were only 1.7, but we had another payoff of over $11 million. So that takes a bit to come back up. And as Alan was saying, a lot of the financials for 2020 are not great for every borrower out there. So now that we're getting 2021 financials to use, we do see that that's going to change a little bit.
Yeah, and I would say that you see that, my expectations, you're going to see a large correlation to inbounds and our originations as borrowers get closer to their reset date with their banks. And there is a large waterfall of reset dates because, to further explain that, all of these loans that they have are floating, and they're coming up on their inaugural reset date, which means they're going to go up. And so it would be a prudent, observation if we saw more originations and inbounds as it got closer to this reset, because they're going to want to fix their portion instead of, going into a higher rate with the floating feature of their traditional bank line.
Mm-hmm. And just in some conversations I'm having with lenders right now, they are very sensitive to the rising rate environment. They are letting me know that they're trying to get projects to us sooner in order to try and lock in that rate. And so definitely people are watching the rates, and I think we're going to see a change from that. We set at the 355 for a long time, right? People could take their time in getting the projects to us, but now it is changing on a weekly basis.
Thanks. That's just something maybe Morgan and Alan keep a watch on, that we're continuing to keep the pipeline mm-hmm. going. I know it's kind of hard to prospect out in the community, but we do need to have new loans coming in the door to keep this afloat.
No, we've taken those comments seriously, and we are rolling out, as I mentioned, in tandem with the AK SHIP presentation, is that rolling out a more communication strategy with the loan participation program. And I would say, Tiffany, I don't know if you want to step in here, but we have had some very good conversations with some banks that have not participated, mm-hmm. and they have not participated because they misunderstood what the program was, and or they thought they were too small to participate.
Right. The complexity of the deal that they were typically dealing with wouldn't justify coming. And also the people working with them that were the head of their commercial groups were unclear how we could differentiate ourselves from maybe like an SBA participating lender. But we definitely fill different niches in the market, right, which we explained to them. So we're definitely even reaching out to those, again, that have never even used the program, never been a part of the program. So we're definitely trying to diversify this and bring as many as we can come in without having to, again, have that mystery of the program that it needs to be in the millions in order to kind of come to ADA.
There's an unfortunate perception that the program was really set up to support the larger institutions. And for us to be responsive and to really deliver on our mission, which this board has highlighted repeatedly, we have really been taking time to communicate the fact that this is broadly available and really was intended to support the smaller institutions to keep them competitive. So we do need to get better at our communications and our awareness, and we're going to focus on that side. Thank you all.
So, ADA actively has community outreach, and I commend you for that. So, dissemination of information or education of those lenders remains critical. And I think that y'all already have that target set. Thank you for that.
All right. Well, thank you. So we provided the board the quarterly Callan information, which is our externally managed portfolio. And we have that available within the executive director's office for public review.
How's our red showing everybody else's red?
Our red is slightly better than people's other people's.
Because it's red.
But these are unrealized negative returns, right? As interest rates are changing because we're conservatively invested.
Mr. Chairman,
Albert,
would the board indulge me in taking maybe 5 minutes to go into executive session to discuss our investment portfolio?
Well, we can do that at the executive session that's listed on the deal. We'll add that.
Thank you.
Okay.
And then to conclude with the director's comments, we have the updated information on capital allocations for our pre-development program, which is principally the Westerson Access Project and the Ambler Access Project. This is the follow-up on the request from the board from about, a year and a half ago to provide information.
Any questions on that from the board? Okay, before we go into executive session, we've got our next scheduled board meeting for October 26, 2022. All right, that brings us to item number 8. Now, Ramey, what's our lunch schedule, Ramey? Oh, okay. So my suggestion is we go into the executive session, grab our lunches, continue with the meeting. So is the board okay with that? All right, so number 8 is executive session, confidential legal matters protected by attorney-client privilege related to Northern Alaska Environmental Center versus Deborah Hagelin. Is that Department of Interior?
She's the Secretary of Department of Interior, yes.
And Alatna Village Council versus Stephen Cohn.
He's the Alaska Director for the Bureau of Land Management.
Okay. In which it is intervener defendant. In addition, PT Capital Business. What would you call it, a business?
It's related to a presentation on the business plan with Turing Capital.
And without objection, Albert's request to go and to discuss our investment portfolio.
This is Bill.
For all that.
Oh. I move we go into executive session for reasons that was just stated by the chair.
Okay. Bill, do one more. Randy, would you pull the board?
Commissioner Sandy. Yes. Mr. Fechner.
Yes.
Mr. Kendig.
Yes.
Mr. Fogel.
Yes.
Mr. Ellich.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so is there any particular order you're suggesting we do, Alan?
Are we off the...
Chair, you are on the record.
Thank you. Amy, I'll advise the board is not taking any action on the matters discussed while in executive session. The session was limited to discussion of the item number 8 under agenda. Brings us up to item number 9, board comments. Do we have any comments? How about Brian from our new guy? Any comments, Brian?
Nothing to report from me.
You going to come back next time?
Oh, who knows?
Albert?
I don't have any.
Randy?
A couple of comments. One, appreciate the tenacity. Thank you very much to you and your second comment is, at some point here in the next few meetings, I would like to kind of go over that maintenance program and get to see what that looks like for the generators under AEA, I understand, instead of ADA. But I did want to see if we could, next meeting on the 23rd, ADA will be here as well.
Yeah, but that's an AEA issue.
You're right.
So we can certainly
strike that.
Yeah, we can ping Curtis before though.
I will.
Yeah.
It's just a reminder, it's Wednesday, October 26th is the next meeting schedule.
Duck season.
No, I said duck season.
That started September 1st.
Yeah.
No. Nothing to add, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to thank Alan and your staff. Some good stuff. Good meeting, a lot of good discussions. And, Remy, we're going to get you something down here so you don't have to go up and down the doggone stairs of the fast elevator every time. We're making everybody's decision to change something on you. So, I want to do that.